Let me introduce the CEO of Applied Digital. Anybody that is keeping track on the stock market related to the AI know this is a good bet for a lot of folks, and we're pleased to have them doing not one, not two, but three different operations in North Dakota. We'll get an update on the Harwood project and others as well today. Wes, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
You bet. And by the way, questions or comments, welcome on anything related to these data centers. We call them intelligence factories here because that's what they are. And it fits the North Dakota motif because we have ag factories cranking out those great commodities. We have oil and gas factories pulling that oil out of the ground. And this is a farm, if you will, of infrastructure that will, the product is data, is compute. So doing great things. How's the Harwood project coming along, first of all?
It's going great. Thanks for asking. So if anyone who drives by has seen the fast progress that we've made on that project, you know, since we broke ground in September, and one of the buildings is standing. We've driven a lot of piles. We had, as everyone in North Dakota knows, we had a fairly good winter for doing construction just from a snowfall perspective. So running on or slightly ahead of schedule there. So really happy with that so far.
And you're on an aggressive schedule anyway, right? You got to get power there. You've got a lot of logistics in the actual construction, but this sucker's been on the fast track, right?
This is the speed of this market. We need to compete. And so we spent time the last couple of years where we built our first facility in Ellendale, and we really enhanced the way we do construction, the way we do supply chain, so that we can compete really effectively in this really fast moving market. But yeah, we are on a very accelerated schedule.
Explain why it's a fast moving market. What is there? There seems to be obviously an insatiable appetite and thirst to do what your data centers are doing and will be doing in Harwood. Why is that?
Yeah, so there's if you just look at the adoption curve of what we've seen in AI, and you compare that with any adoption curve in history, it's so unbelievably accelerated. So I know there's this kind of discussion around, you know, where we try to move this something similar to what happened to the internet, and people talk about bubbles. But if you look at the adoption curve versus even the internet, the most recent, or maybe mobile phone, the amount of users that are using generative AI and then the applications that generative AI are going to has just been, it's barely a curve. It's really almost a straight up line where we see, you know, well north of a billion people, probably close to 2 billion across the world in a span of 3 years. Just remember, this was introduced roughly 3 years ago, that have all adopted and are using this heavily. To use this, we need infrastructure, and the compute is the infrastructure. And that's what we're building is large data center facilities that then are populated with servers that then provide this compute capacity or this compute power. And what we call intelligence factories. And we're really building these quickly because the demand is so massive just from a consumer. These revolutions are always consumer led. So from a consumer perspective, massive. Now we're starting to see it hit the enterprise, government. We've obviously seen, especially with the operations in Iran, the government aspect of this just in one lens. But there's a lot of other lenses from a government use perspective, but we're seeing all of this adoption at the same time, which is really, really just mind boggling to watch.
The big name customers are what? Amazon, Meta, Google. Those are the ones that have early on been, hey, hurry, hurry, right? We got big checks, just get it done, and yep, we want to go. And I can't remember if your customers is known to us or if it's just one of the bigs. Explain.
Yeah, we really go after six customers right now, and that's Microsoft, that's Google, that's Amazon, that's Oracle, that's Meta, and that's CoreWeave. And so we have CoreWeave, and then we disclosed a few weeks ago that we have Oracle at the second site in Harwood, and we are working with all of these other companies that are looking for a significant amount of capacity to add, you know, additional locations in North Dakota specifically. I think North Dakota is a great place. We're really the only company doing it in North Dakota right now, but I think it's a great place for these AI factories. It brings, North Dakota has all the ingredients that we need. But the majority of this is happening in Texas or Virginia. And then we're bringing customers into North Dakota and hopefully can develop that market because it brings such massive benefits to the local communities and to the state with very little impact. And so we're excited to bring more of these to North Dakota if we're able to.
And what does it take for you to bring more of them? When you say if we're able to, does it take the customer for the computer? Are there plenty of those? And what do you expect to do more of in North Dakota?
Yeah, so we'll bring, we have the demand from customers. We obviously know how to build these facilities. We have supply chain that we locked in a few years ago, which is super important, by the way. But we have all of those ingredients. And North Dakota has been very, you know, business friendly and welcoming to these projects for us. And if it remains that way, we're going to continue to add more and more projects across the state. I think if you talk to the mayor of Ellendale or the mayor of Harwood, these are big, you know, boons to their local community. These are communities when we show up, you know, what's the first thing that they think of? They're going to be able to fix their freshwater infrastructure, their sewer infrastructure, their roads. Their school district is going to become one of the wealthiest in the states, you know, in the state almost overnight. But you get to fix all of this infrastructure. We do a lot with first responders to enhance that infrastructure for the local communities. And then we bring jobs to these communities, not overwhelming, just the right amount of high paying jobs. I mean, I think our wages are about 2.5 to 3 times what the average household income is in the state of North Dakota. So we bring these. It's a little bit of a hassle during construction. We manage that really well. But then once these are operating, the people of the communities will barely know they even exist.
Pretty amazing. So when you talk about if it remains that way, in other words, what you've seen thus far in North Dakota, what would be your dots on the map where you would go to what you need to have?
So we have facilities currently in Ellendale, Jamestown, and Harwood. We have a potential location north of Bismarck that we'd love to develop, and those would basically spread it across the entire state of North Dakota. We work pretty aggressively to get the fiber networks that we have there, and then in the future we would like to develop new generation resources off of the Bakken gas, the trapnet gas in the Bakken field. There's work to have a WBI pipeline go from west to east, from the Bakken to the eastern side of the state. And it'll allow not just our projects, but a lot of other projects to go forward in the state. I mean, Scott, I think, as you know, there's just such a tie across history between energy generation and economic prosperity and the evolution of typically countries. But we're hoping to be able to continue to do this in North Dakota.
Yeah, that's certainly great news, especially at a time when, by the way, other states are putting up barriers to these projects, something that is confusing to me, Florida being the latest example, kind of said, whoa. And Florida generally has been very friendly towards business and business development, but they have decided to pump the brakes a little bit on the development of these, something that Secretary Doug Burgum told me he thought was, again, more of an opportunity for North Dakota to keep an open mind about this and, again, continue partnerships not unlike what has happened with Applied Digital. More of our conversation with the CEO, Wes Cummins, after this. A couple of your questions coming in. Others, welcome. Don't go away. Back on What's On Your Mind, continuing our chat with Wes Cummins, CEO of Applied Digital. They are the 800-pound gorilla intelligence factory operation in North Dakota. And as I said earlier, the stock market likes what they see from Applied Digital. If I had a buck for everybody told me, man, I should have bought Applied Digital, but I better catch the wave now. There's a lot of folks out there saying that for the good reasons. A couple of questions from our audience. I'll kind of go through these quickly, Wes. One is on the pipeline you mentioned, and it is under development right now. There's talk of getting it up and running by 2029. Lister wants to know, would that be soon enough once the gas is here, given the speed at which the industry is moving?
So it's a great question. And, you know, we would love for it to be sooner, but we're going to work within the bounds. I think WBI and team over there are pushing that as quickly as they possibly can. And you need commitments and offtakes. And it's just very complicated to make sure everything is correct. And as much as we love to do things fast and keep it and keep up with competition and all of the things that we like to do and why we move so quickly. We also are big proponents of making sure that things are done the right way. That's a big focus of our company. It has been from day one. So would we love it a little bit sooner? Yeah, right now we're planning for when it does come online in 29. And then we have, you know, a significant amount of capacity to build out between now and then from what exists already. And so it should dovetail very nicely into what we want to do for the future in the state of North Dakota.
Another related question, and we hear this a lot from Western North Dakota. You don't need a pipeline if you come to where the energy source is, mainly natural gas out west. Is that an option?
So we're moving, you know, the next site we expect to be much further west, like I said, north of Bismarck, closer to where the Bakken is. Still are going to work around the aggregation and pipeline as it runs across the state. I think that's just the smart way for us to operate. And we always, you know, like to operate within the system that exists, that is already there in the state. And we plan to continue to do that. But we would like to start another site on the western side of the state, just because of that proximity to the oil field and the nat gas.
Another thing you hear a lot about is obviously power rates. You've addressed that before. I know they went down in Ellendale. I know the conversation got a little confused here because XL Energy came out and said, hey, rates are going to go up, and listed data centers as a factor. What comfort can you give consumers that their power rates are not going to go up because of these developments, either that are, you have or underway or future?
Sure. So what we've done in Ellendale is we went in and, again, doing things the right way. We went in and located at a substation that had excess power. We utilized that infrastructure more efficiently, and we paid for, you know, any of the infrastructure upgrades that are required. And then we're a big offtake. We pay our tariff, so we pay our share. I think we pay more than our share, and that's what's been realized by the savings. I think about $31 million back to ratepayers over the past 4 years at our facility there in Ellendale. And we expect to do things that are similar. But I think it's important that people understand that electricity rates are likely going up. You know, they historically have went up slowly, but they're likely going to continue to do that. And one of the issues is we had a significant amount of inflation as a country in the early part of the decade, in the first half of the decade, very significant inflation. With inflation, you see that really quickly show up in places like grocery stores, sometimes in gas with, you know, what we're seeing going on right now. But when you look at the electricity grid, they move much slower, right? Utilities move a lot slower, but components that go inside of the grid are 60 to 80 to 100% more expensive now than they were 5 or 6 years ago. And a big part of that is just the overall inflation that happened, like I said, earlier in the decade. And so as they do maintenance, as they do any expansion, but specifically even just maintenance, when they replace components, transformers, substation, lines, as they do these things over the next, you know, 5 or 10 years, the cost of those components is significantly higher. So you're going to see some inflation. What we do with our data centers that I think is unique is we provide a load, something with a lot of visibility. We sign 15-year contracts. We can build additional generation. We can utilize infrastructure more efficiently. So I can't guarantee that rates are going to go down like we saw in Ellendale, but I think what we provide is an opportunity to make sure rates are stabilized. Also, what we build is very redundant on site. So in very high stress situations, we can actually disconnect from any electricity we're taking from the grid. And so that provides additional resiliency at stress points, whether it's a winter storm or a summer heat wave. So we can provide a lot of benefits with these unique assets and these long-term contracts that allow utilities to do a lot of planning, very, very methodical planning to make sure that their ratepayers have very stable rates and a more resilient grid. But I don't want to say that, you know, blanketly that we're just going to lower rates like we did in Ellendale. I hope that we're going to do that, but we do think a lot about how this plays out for the region, for the ratepayers over time, and we want to make sure that it's the absolute best outcome for everyone.
I would encourage folks to, again, keep the questions coming. Folks like Wes Cummins, CEO, chairman of Applied Digital, have been very accessible to us and ultimately to you. I mean, we're here to ask questions that we get on your behalf, and this industry, because of our energy resources, is one that is focusing on North Dakota. And 28 out of 50 states is where we rank currently. I want to see us move up that ladder. I think we're going to, again, because of the energy resources that are there and the government-friendly nature that we have. But this is a topic we're going to continue to tackle regularly. And, Wes, you've been great about coming on. I have two more questions to ask you during the break here, and then we'll let you go. Our appreciation for our BEC TV audience as well. Thanks for listening. More coming up on What's on Your Mind.